Wealth and Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. What an awesome lineup of phenomenal people listening in tonight. I want to thank all of you who showed up, Alexis, Dawn, Diane, Jamie, long list, Melissa, Joe, Dan, I mean, long list of first-class people for long-time clients, inspiring to be on this call tonight. I want to thank you. Happy holidays, everyone. Really want to thank all of you and congratulate you. What a great year it's been so far. I'm going to deliver some great content for you this evening. A few quick announcements of what's coming up here real quick. Right around the corner, a week from Saturday, I'll be in Rye, New York for the first time ever. No, second time I've been in Rye. Oftentimes I would do Long Island at the end of the year. However, there was not space available in some of the normal hotels, so Rye, New York is a great substitute. That will be next Saturday, December 16th. And on the 30th, I'll be in Marina del Rey, beautiful Marina del Rey, close to LAX Airport, also close to West Los Angeles, one of my favorite cities to speak in. That will be with Brittany Cara. Brittany's an exceptional woman I've shared the stage with on many, many occasions and did a Facebook Live with her today. January 6th, I'll be in Fort Lauderdale. January 13th, I will be in Dallas, Texas. Spartanburg, South Carolina with Bridget Bartley, who's hosted many events with and for me. Also want to mention January 6th, I'll be at Lisa Pazanza, who's also hosted many events for me. February 10th, I'll be in Orange County, California with Marissa Campbell, Marissa the Crusher Campbell, who unequivocally is crushing it. February 24th, I'll be in Orlando, Florida with Susan Dampier and Colleen Olitsky. Saddlebrook, New Jersey, Diane Hughes-Hunt steps to the plate and gets to host her first event. March 24th, Philadelphia. March 31st, I'll be in Portsmouth, and I'm about to add Baltimore with Marianne Snyder to the event March 10th. Those are some of the events where I will be speaking in the very near future. So I want to thank all of you once again for attending events this past calendar year. I have a very unique event that I'm all of you that have coached with me before and have not attended the Protege Writer Speakers Workshop, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th will be a very unique event. I'm going to bring back by popular man G. Edward Griffin, who was the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, one of the best chiropractors I've ever been adjusted by, met in my life, Dr. Nelson Bullmash from Alpharetta, Georgia. If you've never seen anyone that can adjust the human anatomy and body as Nelson can and then break down a lot of what goes on in mind-body connections, the body. Nelson is also someone who has, from free weights, lifted 600 pounds off the ground. He's an exceptional human being. He'll be speaking there along with Brittany Cara and a whole host of exceptional, inspirational speakers. That is May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Some of you have a ticket and have not accessed it, so that is a great opportunity for you to do so. And if you have not taken advantage of my free 15-minute coaching sessions, you may inbox me on Facebook with your number, and I will get back to you in a very short period of time. And with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Tonight's call is titled The Art of Being Yourself. Now, what does that really mean? It means letting go of the anxieties that keep you doing the same thing over and over. If you own a business, if you're in free enterprise, you're in sales, marketing, or you're selling intellectual property, own your own small business, any multitude of situations, you have the opportunity to create what the free market will bear. There are no limitations, only the ones that you put on yourself. That's why it's so important to be in a space in your consciousness where you are good enough, where you are capable, where you are relaxed enough, and most importantly, patient enough to learn the skills. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Other people are doing better than I am. I can't believe how far behind I am. I'm not where I should be. These are common statements that people who enter free enterprise and entrepreneurship say in their early journey. It's very important that you let go of the anxieties you create, have a better understanding of what it is you're capable of, have clearly defined goals. A woman said to me yesterday, "Do you set big goals?" I surprised her by saying, "I don't. I never set big goals. I set clearly defined goals that I can accomplish. I set goals that are right in front of me, and I systematically accomplish them over a long period of time. That kind of goal achievement is what creates a compounded effect. I know you've been taught to have homes on the beach, and you're supposed to have these big dreams. That's great, but you also better have a system to accomplish the very goals that you set out. And you also better have some goals that are clearly defined that are about you. Most of society, when they set a goal, it's typically about someone else because they're not comfortable enough or there's too much guilt in their consciousness to be able to state clearly defined what they feel they deserve. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, then you can paint your masterpiece. Now, if any of you ever took art in grade school and coloring books, took art in college, have an art eye, been to a museum, seen some of the masters. I've had the unequivocal privilege of going to some of the top museums in the world. I've seen the Statue of David. I've been to the Louvre. I've been to the De Young in San Francisco. I've been to the Getty in Los Angeles, the Kansas City Art Institute, the Chicago Art Institute in Chicago. I've been to some of the greatest art museums in the world. And I've seen some of the greatest masterpieces. I've seen Van Gogh's, I've seen Renoir's, I've seen Titian's, I've seen some of the greatest masters, some of the greatest masters of the religious paintings. Some of you have been to the Sistine Chapel, you've seen it. Pieces of art, well, that's what you are. You're a masterpiece. However, a lot of what you've been through is what keeps you broken. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, have a better understanding of why you do what you do, don't set yourself up to be disappointed. Don't spend a lot of time proving other people wrong. As you let go of the control that keeps you in control of feeling out of control, then you can begin the reinvent process. Now, the reinvent process requires one key word, patience, followed by a word called commitment. And these two words must come together in unison as you begin to integrate and begin to import a different set of feelings. Now, for those of you who have studied the great Dr. Joe Dispenza, you've seen him speak, you've gone to his workshops, or you've read some of David Hawkins' books, or you've been around John Assaraf, or you've read Fred Allen Wolf, and you've taken your personal development and self-improvement to the next level where you get beyond motivation and you start to understand the science of transformation. You start to understand how important it is to relax your consciousness, how important it is to relax your inner critic, how important it is to let go of the conflict you hold on to. That will give you the conscious awareness that will allow you to change your attractor factor. I committed to Abby O'Neill in March 31st, I'm going to do an event for her that will break down in finite detail the science of attraction. I'll do this for many of you when I speak. I did it in Atlanta this last weekend. I spent the entire morning in breaking down the cause and the effect of what creates attraction. You'll attract your reality, people and situations, based on the feelings you repress and hold on to, or you can attract your reality, people and situations, from the new conscious awareness you create by living in a relaxed body. But if your communication style is filled with non-commitment words, if it's filled with uncertainty, you'll continue to attract people and situations to fulfill your disappointment. Now, as you begin to understand the process, and the process requires commitment, you can't succeed by needing to commit, you commit to commit. And when you're committed, then you're in. You're all in, not half-assed, not halfway, not you'd like to, not you'd hope to. And when you let go of your anxiety about money, then you'll attract people who have it. But if you live in a scarcity consciousness, a mindset that you're not sure if you can create it, if you continue to trade time for dollars and find yourself constantly in a state of liability debt because your dialogue with money, receiving, asking, and deserving is not conducive to creating the creativity and the innovation required to be a business owner, then you'll continue to come up with money excuses. Money excuses will attract people who have money excuses. Now, when you let go of your money excuses and you become creative, money will find you, you will find it. But if you wait for money to show up instead of being creative about it, then you'll continue to do the same situation over and over. I coached a young woman recently who was waiting for a job. She'd interviewed for a really good job, and she needed this job, and I told her that she deserved this job. I assisted her to change her language about this job and how attached she was to this job. She was telling me how financially challenged she was, how her children required, and she, if this job didn't come in, she was going to lose everything. So she was so focused on what she didn't have that she was not able to access her own creativity. Now, after my one-hour coaching call, she came up with three other job possibilities. She had three other phone calls she could make immediately after the call. Instead of waiting till tomorrow to do one of the calls, I asked her to do it 5 minutes at the end of our call so that she was in a sense of urgency, a relaxed sense of urgency. Unfortunately, most people wait for luck to happen to them. Now, me personally, I'd rather be good than lucky any day. And good comes from repetition and experience. It comes from innovation and creativity. It does not come from waiting for that mythical, magical superstar to show up in your team. I've had exceptional clients who used to ask me, Jeff, why do these people do this? And I will say to them, because they're Americans. Not only are we the land of the free and the land of the brave, but we unfortunately are from the land of the non-committed. Unfortunately, a lot of people talk about being successful. I myself have been criticized for putting in 12 and 14-hour days, 6 and 7 days a week. My answer is always the same situation. I own a business. My business is my livelihood, and my business doesn't come first. It's a high priority. I come first, but that business also is a priority in my life because that business provides my livelihood. Your livelihood is going to be a direct reflection of the energy you devote to your craft. Now, if you require money to live a good life and you require a certain amount of it, then you have to become skilled at the creation of it. And that's the artistry. That means you have to be able to create your own masterpiece. First of all, you want to be able to see the outcome before it happens, not wait to see it when you get it. You have to be able to see it and feel it before it happens. If you want a car, test drive it. If you want a house, go to that very house that you want to buy one day and stand in front of it. If you want to take a vacation, start accessing that vacation. Romance it, feel it, sense it. Create the salivation in the back of your throat. Begin to visualize it, feel it. You have to be one with it. And as you start to create that masterpiece, then you start to focus on yourself. The simple discipline required to create the transformation is one day of creativity and one day of not criticizing yourself. In that one day of not criticizing yourself, you start to be consciously aware of your word choices. Your word choices dictate your actions and your inactions. When you continue to speak a language style that's non-committal, kinda, sorta, and guess. I mean, I watch people. This is how they speak. Kinda, sorta, guess. They say guess on practically every sentence. As you become consciously aware of the way people communicate, you can also reinvent yourself and change the way you communicate. 0 to 7 is what creates your subconscious. 7 to 18 is what creates your unconscious. 18 to present is who you are today. You're a sum total of your life's journey. You're a sum total of the events that shaped your feelings. As you begin to give less significance to the past and more energy to the present, as you put more energy and clarity into your future, then you won't put so much energy into your regret. When you have anxiety about the future, it inhibits your ability to be able to dream. And if you don't dream and they're not clearly defined, then you have wishes. Wishes are not fishes. Wishes are wants. Wants aren't clear. Wants aren't clarity. When you're clear, you're clear. Then you will not be denied. When you have that edge, when you have that grind, when you come from that place, I will not be denied, you'll be able to quit your job without worrying about how you're going to make it. Money does not respond to worry, first of all. Money does not respond to worry. Money does not respond to poverty. Money does not respond to desperation. Money responds to people who are skilled at it. As you become skilled at creating the results that create the money, attracting the people you can collaborate with, as you begin to create the compounded effect, then you can create this equation. 2 + 2 = 16. That's a quantum leap. Sum becoming greater than whole of parts. Now, there are people on this call, I've had the unequivocal privilege of being their coach and their friend, going on this journey with them, and I've watched some of these people have jobs where they went from a $100,000 a year job to a $100,000 a month business. Now, that could be you, provided this, that you master the mindset of an entrepreneur. And being an entrepreneur means you're in free enterprise, you're in business for self. You don't get paid a salary unless you actually own your own corporation and you're paying yourself a salary. But you're not paid for time, you're paid for results. And you must focus on the results that will create the outcome that you seek. Now, what so many people do is they focus on non-revenue producing activity, but someone who's really good focuses on action that creates a result. There's a huge difference between activity and action. Action rewards you with a result. Activity continues to educate you. And what most people do is they educate themselves. But what you have to learn to do is re-educate your expectations. When you go to a restaurant, expect to get a great table. When you go to a restaurant, expect to get a great meal. When you go to a restaurant, expect to get great service. When you go to that restaurant, expect to find a parking space right up front. As you begin to re-educate your expectations, then you expect situations that you didn't used to expect to happen for you. This isn't luck. This is a skill. This is called synchronicity. Now, in this situation, there's no separation between you and the outcome. Now, when you live in this kind of law of vibration and law of energy, as you begin to master this type of emotional state, this is what changes who and what. Who and what you attract. But when your focus is your focus from the past and you continue to stay overwhelmed, you'll attract situations that will keep you overwhelmed. As you learn to let go of the most debilitating emotion, guilt. Now, guilt's one of the most debilitating emotions that will hinder you from attracting the people that will allow you to paint your masterpiece. When you come from guilt or you've been guilted, then you have to show up at your relatives on certain events. You have to surround yourself with certain people. You'll worry about what other people are going to think about you. You'll worry about what other people are going to do. And the backside of guilt is resentment. You will tend to over-obligate yourself, do too much for others. And instead of delivering great service, you're out serving. Now, there's a big distinction between serving and serve us. When you own a business, you provide service. When you're an addict, you're out serving. You're over-serving. You're doing more for others than you'd ever do yourself because you're neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings based on a series of events that are not your fault. However, it's your responsibility to understand the cause that creates the effect of your codependence. Codependence is a very interesting word. It has many meanings, but if you read Melody Beattie's landmark book called Codependent No More, she breaks it down in the preface of what codependence really means, specifically when it comes to being emotionally addicted to a set of feelings. If you lose your innocence as a child, you have to take care of your grown-ups, you have to give your money away to your parents and family, this can have a huge impact on how you operate emotionally. If you don't feel like you're good enough or worthy, it'll show up in who and what you attract in your leverage business. And now, it doesn't take a lot to change, but it does require a commitment. In a relatively short period of time, documentable by the people I've coached, witnessed, and watched, by the people who actually commit to staying with me in a coaching practice long enough to break through, and you're not required to hire me to do it because you can do it on your own. I can be a game changer for you, but you can change your game yourself because you want to be independent, not codependent. You don't want to depend on a coach. You want to depend on yourself. But a coach, a mentor, an upline, these are all people who can be an asset to you, provided you're an asset to yourself. You can have all – that was a good one. These people can be an asset to you, provided you're an asset to yourself. But if you're sensitive and defensive, and your coach, your mentor, your upline, your success coach, they're giving you insight and you turn it into criticism, then you just set that person up to disappoint you so you can be disappointed. But when you let go of your anxiety about being right and you focus on being wealthy and you focus on learning the skills, your game changes. When you focus on delivering great service, when you focus on value, your energy changes. See, when you let go of your past and focus on your present, when you stop living in regret and stop worrying about situations that haven't happened, you can't live in regret and then live in worry and never expect to attract to reality the people in situations who don't live in that energy. You're going to attract people who believe what you believe. If you're a noble struggler, you'll attract other like-minded noble strugglers to fulfill your disappointment. When you let go of being a noble struggler and you step into the present, and you start to have a much deeper sense of awareness, and you start to not only figure it out, but you start to live the dream. When you start to get your paint out, and you start to use the primary colors, and you start to put it on canvas, and you start to feel, sense, and see this, when you go to some of the events where you put dream boards together with your team, that's empowering. But you have to believe it. You don't just get out the rubber cement and get the scissors out and cut the pictures out and do it for the sake of the exercise. The exercise has to have meaning. And the meaning that you give the exercise determines your emotional state. But if you just go through the motions, then you'll have no forward progress. If you're going through the motions, you have no energy. You have to be committed as you go through the motions. You have to feel it. You have to sense it. It has to be in your fiber. There has to be pride and dignity. Because the way you do one thing is the way you're going to do a lot of situations in your life. If you can't make your bed in the morning, you've rebelled before you even started. If you can't clean up your room, clean up your house, clean up your desk, if you can't live in a level of order that will allow you to step out of your chaos, then how can you attract other people who are methodical, systematic, organized, and actually can master the moving parts of a business and success? You can't succeed in an overwhelmed state. You can't succeed. You can't paint a picture when you're overwhelmed because you can't start. See, what many people do is they get out their canvas. They get out the white canvas. They get it stretched. They have it mounted. They're ready. They've got the paint. And they sit there and they frickin' look at the canvas because they don't know where to start. They require some teacher, some professor. They want somebody to come in and show them how to pick the paint up. I don't know where to start. What do I do? I used to do an exercise, a fabulous exercise at some of my events, and I may reinvent this again. Early in my Breakthroughs to Success event, I bought several paints. I bought a great big canvas, a 4x6 canvas. I had it stretched. I had it mounted. I brought in an artist from Chicago to assist me with this, a guy who was a fabulous artist, graduated from Chicago Art Institute, and I would have a total of 13 different colors. 13 was a lucky number for this exercise. And then I had about 40 brushes, and this would be at one of my Breakthroughs events, and I would give the class or the event, I'd give them 45 minutes to paint a masterpiece. And so it was an exercise in organized chaos. So there'd be 25 people painting at once on this one piece of canvas. And then it was amazing how this canvas would come together at the end of 45 minutes. It was a collaborative effort. And you see different symbolism, you see different metaphors, you see different colors, and you look back and you close your eyes and you look back at it and you go, oh my God, you see so many pieces of the 25 people in that event. Then I'd take that canvas, I had it made into a serigraph, and I mailed it in a tube to every single person that was in that event. Now that created a lasting impression of what a group of like-minded entrepreneurs coming together for a common cause can do with a masterpiece. No one sat there and goes, oh my God, I don't know where to start. I would have people go, well, where am I supposed to paint? Wherever you can find a spot. Well, do we take turns? I mean, all the left-brained and analytical, overwhelmed people are trying to figure out the simplicity of the exercise. And the people, it was interesting, the people who would get overwhelmed with the project would tend to go to the back of the room and stand together and find the flaws in the exercise. It was classic. But the people who got it, they got up and they started painting. They started putting pieces of themselves on this canvas. Then eventually, the people standing at the back of the room started to let go of the control that kept them out of the control. They would walk up and pick a paintbrush up, and they would forget that they were overwhelming themselves. They would forget that they were trying to figure it out. They would forget that it wasn't a perfect piece because they couldn't figure it out because it was organized chaos. And when we finished, it was a masterpiece. Every one of you could do this. You have flaws from the past. You've been violated. You've been through a series of events that have shaped your disbelief. But on tonight's call, I'm giving you permission, as you give yourself permission, to start to live in your own belief. As you let go of the cause that creates the effect, then you're no longer the mind-body connection, the events that continue to shape your feelings. Now, when you can separate yourself from the events, now what does that actually mean? It means in science, you're able to breathe into a feeling. You're able to let go of the anxiety that you continue to perpetuate. You're able to silence your inner critic. You're able to actually meditate. You're actually able to close your eyes and take a deep breath. You're actually able to see yourself in a very near future. You're able to start to create the biology of belief. When you start to believe, it creates a different biology neurochemically in your brain. As you begin to let go of the events that shaped your feelings and start to really step into your power, you let go of the force and you let go of being a counterforce to other people's control. When you let go of the control that kept you overwhelmed and worried about situations that haven't happened, you will change your energy. Your energy is your emotional state. You either have a very low energy, or you're in doubt, or you're in conscious awareness. Those are the three energies that most people operate in. That would be anxiety, fear, and doubt, or you've moved into a higher level of consciousness called awareness, where you start to access joy, love, and bliss. And as you start to graduate into that level of consciousness and you're no longer the mind-body connection, the events that shape your feelings, then all of a sudden miracles start to happen. Synchronicity happens more frequently. Your inbox people show up differently. People who used to not have the money, miraculously would find it. People who would say to you, people will end up saying to you, I don't know where I found you, but there's something about you. That means that you are no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety. It means in your brain, you're wiring your brain differently. You're no longer wired by guilt, abandonment, rejection. You're no longer holding on to the overwhelmed feelings that keep you worried. You're no longer worried about what other people are going to say about you because you own a business. You're not so consumed with your family and relatives and some of the other people that you grew up with. You're not worried about the people who make nice smiley faces to you and then criticize you behind your back. You're not worried about pleasing people as frequently. And you're more concerned with living a good life and sharing that with others. Now, when you start to step into that kind of energy, that becomes power. That minimizes the force and the counterforce that is required to keep you in conflict, because you now live in a place called clarity. Now you can see the outcome before it happens. Now you can paint your canvas. Now you can start to focus on your masterpiece. You don't want to die with your music inside you. You all have a hit song in you. You all have a book you could write. So you're somewhere along chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7. You have about 6 or 7 more chapters to go in your masterpiece. You haven't finished it. You know, some writers have one great book in them. Harper Lee was that woman. Harper Lee wrote one great book in her life. It was called To Kill a Mockingbird. J.D. Salinger, although he wrote a few books, he wrote one book that's one of the most widely read books in the history of literature, and that was To Catcher in the Rye. I mean, there's so many authors that have that music inside them. There have been so many one-hit wonders when it comes to songwriting, and they disappear. But everyone has that one masterpiece in them, but you want to get beyond that one. You want to live a long, good life. You want to be the masterpiece that you're capable of painting. You want to paint many, many masterpieces. One of my best friends is a world-class painter that no one's ever heard of. His paintings would absolutely awe you. I grew up with this guy. He was so good, he got a full ride to a Division I college. He quit relatively early in his career. Unfortunately, that wasn't his masterpiece. He didn't want to be a professional athlete. He was such a great artist. He was good at everything he ever did. I could play basketball with him, nothing but net 30 feet. We'd go out, people would flock around him. He'd pick up a guitar, he was the man. He would paint. He could make doctrines. He could do this matrix style of painting that was just off the wall. Right now, today, I know he has at least 400 masterpieces. Unfortunately, his challenge is selling them. He's one of the most talented human beings I've ever seen, and I know that someday, some way, he's going to overcome this situation because he's still in the game. How many masterpieces do you have in you? You have at least one, but more than one. See, that's your ability. Painting is like hand-eye coordination. It's the vision you have, and while you're in, it's a total in-the-moment situation. Any kind of painting or drawing, you're not doing it from memory. You're doing it from right. You're doing it from feeling. You're able to do it. You're able to put it together. You may have seen a great landscape, and you remember that, and you're painting the way it should be, but you're not processing it. When you're not inhibited, you can paint your masterpiece. But unfortunately, what many people do, they don't make their bed. They go down and sit in front of their canvas, and they look at it, and they go, I don't know where to start. All the paint's right there. The paintbrushes is there. They've been taking painting lessons for a year. They hired the best painting coach. They've coached with this coach for years, but they continue setting the canvas, and I don't know what to do. I don't have a system. I don't have an upline. I don't have a cross line. I'm stuck over here in this upside down reverse leg going nowhere. So what I think I want to do is I want to sit out. I'm going to wait and paint until I get the right painting team. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit out for a few months, a few years. I'm just going to sit back in the background, figure it all out, and then I'm going to paint my masterpiece before I die. Unfortunately, what many people do is they tiptoe quietly through life, and before they ever paint their masterpiece, they meet their maker, and then they've lived most of their life in regret. They live in that famous word should. They should have. They get overwhelmed. They have too much going on. Their job consumes a lot of their life, and then they commute back and forth 3 hours a day. They've got kids. They've got relatives. They've got vacations. They've got holidays, they've got all these obligations, but they never really get around to living their life, meaning they never get around to really designing their life. They never get around to painting that one painting they know that's inside them because they keep getting ready to get ready. They keep avoiding. They keep avoiding but the inevitable continues to creep up. That is father time. Another year goes by, another gray hair happens. Another year goes by, another hair falls out. Another year goes by, you get a little older. Another year go by, they gain a little more weight. Another year goes by, they feel a little more diminished. Then they get exhausted. Another year goes by. That's what happens to so many people. They should. They plan. They get ready. They plot. They study. They get educated. But they never take the action required to learn how to paint. Painting is repetition and experience. It requires some diligence. It requires some skills. It requires some talent. But you have to be able to paint your masterpiece by the action you take daily. And see, when you're prospecting, that's painting because that's hand-eye coordination. When you are prospecting, your prospect is your opponent. When they join your team, now they're your teammate. But when you're prospecting, that prospect is your opponent. And it's your responsibility to be able to compete with yourself and understand why this prospect has excuses, why this prospect has objections. It's your responsibility not to take it personal. It's your responsibility to understand that most people will find a money excuse of why they can't join you, buy, purchase. Instead of being creative and innovative, they put it off till later. Yeah, I'm going to hire you in January. I'm going to get started after the first of the year. This is so common that it's commonality, and it's your responsibility to realize that most of those people aren't committed. Now, if you're committed, you're an army of one, and when you're that one army, when you live in commitment, when you breathe commitment, when you are decisive, when you are the man, when you are the woman, when you can stand the gaff, when you can stand up to criticism, when you can look over your shoulder and not take it personal, when you don't have to prove anyone wrong, don't ever succeed to prove someone wrong. It's wasted effort because the people you think are going to acknowledge you for succeeding, they don't care because they're not really interested in you. That's a whole story that you make up about yourself. As you step into the recovery process, recovery, what does that actually mean? It means you can go a day, and then you can go back-to-back days without being critical of yourself. It means you have clarity, C-L-A-R-I-T-Y. It means you can see the outcome before it happens. You can attract the money before you have it. You have a vision that's clear. It's crystal clear. And you focus on short-term, clearly defined goals, the ones right in front of you. You know, the simple situations, the rank advancements, so many people focus about being on stage. So many people are more concerned with recognition. Babies cry for it. Men die for it. Medals, recognition. Now, me, I'm not looking for recognition. I want the result. I'd much rather have the result. And then if I get the recognition for the result, that's cool too. But you should be more focused on results than you are recognition. Because results are what pay you recognition. You get the trophy. And you're going to get the trophy because of the results. But so many people want the trophy before they ever get the results, because they're more recognition conscious than they are results conscious. They see, results aren't glamorous. Recognition is glamorous. When you focus on the glamour and you focus on that situation, typically you miss the opportunity to master the emotions that create the skills. And the skills are what are going to pay you. That's the diligence. That's the dedication. That's sitting at your desk hour after hour, writing content, creating leads, calling leads, doing three-way calls, doing all the situations that most of you avoid because you don't consider it glamorous. You consider that painful. But see, that pain that you consider is actually pleasure to someone who really understands how to paint. Painting takes discipline. It takes being able to put the paint on a canvas and create an outcome before it happens. You have to be able to see that beyond which is physical. A white canvas is stark. It has nothing on it. But you've got to see the paint on it before it ever happens. And when you can do that, you have vision. You have clarity. When you know the outcome before you start, then you can become a great listener. But when you continue to let excuses rob you of your results, then you'll continue to perpetuate the same situation over and over. When you stuff your feelings, it shows up in your physical being. It shows up in your body. It shows up in your overwhelmed, unorganized state. When you live in that type of situation, it affects your ability to attract your reality, the people and situations that will foster your purpose. See, when you are purpose and cause driven, when you let your cause drive you, when your cause is inspiration, when you're inspired, then you'll attract other like-minded, inspirational beings who are looking for your message. But if you're not driven by your purpose, then you don't have any purpose, and you just wander around. You don't really understand why you're doing it. I really want to help people. I want to take a vacation, and I really want my freedom. That freedom, helping, and travel, that's what most people say. It's nonspecific, it's not clear, has no definition, and it has no destination. How the hell are you ever going to get to where you don't know where you're going? You're not. This is why so many people and think, and this is why so many people check out. Most of society checks out because they're not certain, and they're not certain. You can pick up on these people in seconds. You ask them a question, they go, I'm going to hire you. I'm going to find the money. I'm going to buy that product after the first of the year. They tell you what they think you want to hear. When you're really good at this, you laugh your ass off because you know these people don't really mean it. None of this is rejection. This is non-commitment. This is what people say because they're people pleasers. People are such people pleasers, they can't even decide. So what they tend to do whenever you present a proposition of value and they can't decide, they tell you what they think you want to hear. They're actually telling themselves what they think they want to hear when they're not really committed. These people are very easy to spot. You diplomatically let them go and move on. You don't follow up these people because they're not committed. You can tell the people are committed that require a follow-up call because of their communication style, the way they speak. I'm sure you can appreciate I have to run this by my husband. Actually, what I appreciate is a woman who can make a decision. That's what I appreciate. And I appreciate people who can decide. I don't appreciate people who can't decide. It's not that I dislike them, but I know that most of society is non-committal. Now, when you begin to understand this, you will attract your reality more frequently. The few people in society who can purchase emotionally, who can see an opportunity, who can seize the day, who can see a value proposition, who can buy a product, service, and benefit and feature. Also, these people tend to not require a lot of supervision. When you have to communicate with a lot, you have to do special situations for people, you have to bend over backwards for them, that becomes their expectation. That becomes the team that gets built. When it takes you a long time to enroll someone or recruit someone or they hire you, whatever they is they do, then that's what you're going to create in a team. But when you become skilled at the situation, you'll let people decide on their own because you can tell they're not decisive. You won't follow up with people who aren't committed. You'll follow up with the people who you feel an affinity with, you feel a connection with. You'll feel that they really mean what they say, and their communication style will dictate this. Now, when you start to articulate your feelings into words, now you can write content. When you're able to communicate clearly with yourself, when you're able to live in your right brain more frequently and let go of the neocortex of your left brain, your analytical egoic mind, your thinking mind, your processing mind, your anxiety, when you stop worrying, now you can become a lot more creative. You can't paint when you're worried because you're afraid you're going to make a mistake. That's why you look at the canvas. That's the metaphor for so what many people do. They're so mistake conscious that they're not results conscious. Now, how many of you in tonight's call can be honest with yourself and understand that a large percent of your life, you're worried about making mistakes? You're more concerned about making mistakes than you are learning the skills of a vocation. You spend more time educating yourself, hesitating, levitating, and pontificating than you do producing. Production and results are what compensate you. Sales volume, new teammates, new people in your influence, as you start to add your email list, as you start to add your Facebook list, as you start to add your social media list, you start to create a law of averages that's conducive to creating a result. But when you hold on to that one pretty little pet, that one little lead, that one person who says she's going to come to the home party, and miraculously she gets a flat tire the very night that she's supposed to come, and you had your hopes up and you knew she was going to be really good, but now you're so overwhelmed and disappointed you can't believe it that you stalk and chase this person. They don't return your phone call and you keep holding on to it. Unfortunately, it's a metaphor of what's so many people do, but when you begin to articulate your feelings, start to have clarity, your belief will determine your experience. And when you start to believe what you believe, and you start to believe that you're good enough, that you're capable, when you start to believe that you will not be denied, when you believe that you will live your dreams, when you believe that you will be a millionaire, when you actually believe that you'll be able to quit your job on a certain day, when you believe this, then that becomes your reality. That reality becomes an energy. That energy becomes the undertow. It becomes power. When you don't believe, now you live in force. You try and force yourself to believe what you don't believe. You try and seduce yourself into believing it. You hope it happens. When you're not really committed, you're interested. You can't be committed and interested in the same body. That's the contradiction that so many people live in. They live in the, I'd like to have it happen. I hope it happens. I need for it to happen. That's what attachment is. When you're not detached, now here's the difference between, now here's where you separate detachment. You're not attached because you know. It may not be this person, but you know it's going to happen. You're not attached to the time frame because you know it's going to happen. Now, you know it's going to happen in the time frame soon, but you're not. It doesn't have to be a specific date until you're really clear. Now, when you're really clear and your goals are in alignment with who you are, and you don't set these big goals that you can't accomplish, you set the realistic goals that create the compounded effect. When you have that vision, when you have purpose, definite of purpose, when you come from that kind of definition, then you will not be denied. When you have tone in your voice, when you have energy, when you have sexual transmutation, when you're able to transmute your feelings of compassion, passion, empathy, when you start to come from these situations, when you start to have that kind of power, people feel you. When you let go of your codependence, enabling, over-obligating tendencies, your energy changes. You have to address your guilt to do that. Guilt is going to be one of the biggest deterrents to your success. You're too guilty to succeed. You're too guilty to let other people go. You're too guilty to say no. You're too guilty to stop over-obligating yourself. That's one of the biggest deterrents to your ability to attract, is your inability to let go of guilt and shame. When you hold on to these kinds of energies, you attract your reality, other perpetrators, violators, and other people of low energy to fulfill your disappointment. Now, when you begin to get clear, when you start to understand why you do what you do, when you let go of the cause that creates the effect, when you're more concerned with results than you are with education. So many people spend so much time getting educated that they don't spend enough time in the repetition and the experience of learning the skills. If you own a business that requires sales, you have to prospect. PROSPECT. In Webster's, it means to seek and to find. You shuck oysters, you find a pearl. You dig for gold, you pan for it. I live about 40 miles from Sutter Creek. That's where gold was discovered. Up by Jackson, California. Up by where my assistant Chris Shar lives. Up by San Andreas, not too far from me, about 40 miles from here. Up by Placerville, up by Sacramento, close to Lake Tahoe. That's where gold was found in them there hills. You can still go up there and pan for gold. You can actually find a nugget here and there, especially as you begin to line yourself where the deposits are. But see, you have to understand this. You can't just go up to the American River and just pan. You want to go to a place where there's a high probability, where there's a practicality. It's the same situation when it comes to lead generation. You want to be able to attract qualified leads, not non-qualified leads. You want to learn to qualify leads by the way you ask the questions, not hoping that someone will see it. You have to let go of, and so many people say, I don't understand why my friend didn't see this. Well, the reason your friend didn't see it was a couple of reasons. Number one, you telegraphed how much you needed that person. You telegraphed your desperation. That would be number one. And number two, this person is a qualified buyer because you got a result, because you think this is a good business opportunity. You expect other people in your influence to do it without really qualifying them. And because that's your expectation, you get disappointed quickly because these people don't show up to the events. They don't follow through. They buy the product, so you'll quit bothering them. They never open the box. They send it back because they had buyer's remorse because you emotionally were attached to this. Now, when you can detach yourself from the outcome, knowing you're going to create the outcome, knowing that your time is coming, then you'll practice the skills and habits, you'll master the emotions, then you'll practice asking the questions in a sequence over and over until you're dialed in. Most of society does not ask enough questions back to back. They're too overwhelmed and too in their head to ask questions based on answers. What most people try and do is try and ask questions based on a script. Well, you're screwed once a person answers a question isn't on the script. Scripts are important. Scripts are a guideline, but you can't be scripted in the moment. Now, you can use your script to an advantage, but when you're going to have to answer questions sometimes that are bizarre, that are challenging. And you also have to understand that most of society will give you an objection, not a rejection. They will object to changing. Even though you know it's good for them, they don't. So if they're not committed, you have to let go of you being attached to their non-commitment. When they're not committed, they're not going to show up. Your objective is to attract people who are committed, not people who give you excuses. When you're painting your masterpiece, your poetry, your prose that you write is going to come from the words that you speak. When you're extremely skilled at selling, when you're extremely skilled at prospecting, you'll be able to ask the questions back to back. I did a prospecting call yesterday where someone goes, "So, how much does it cost?" My answer was, "If the value is great enough, does the cost matter?" Now, I watched this woman talk herself out of an opportunity before I even got there. I diplomatically thanked her and let her go, and I didn't prejudge her. I knew she wasn't qualified. I could tell by how much she laughed, how she checked out, how she wasn't committed, how sensitive and defensive she was. And most importantly, I could feel her broke thoughts. Broke thoughts keep people broken. Now, what most people don't grasp is that people don't have to have the money to attract or create it. But when you talk yourself out of this, and if you're one of these people that you're going to do something when you have the money, it robs you of the creativity. And when you become resourceful, money begins to find you. When you become creative and resourceful, the people who can provide the money show up. But when you have a single-minded focus on how broke you are, how desperate you are, how destitute you are, how much poverty you have, how much debt you have, when that's your focus, that becomes your belief. And in that kind of belief, now you're coming from anxiety, which is fear, doubt, and anxiety. When you come from that kind of energy, you'll attract your reality, people and situations to fulfill your feelings. You'll attract other non-like-minded success seekers that can sit on the bench and sit in front of the canvas with you. So these are the kind of teammates you'll get when you're coming from this kind of energy, a bunch of people who will look at their canvas and don't know where to start because they're so overwhelmed. When you live in this overwhelmed state, in an unorganized, undisciplined state, I mean, if this is you, be candid with yourself. Be rigorously honest that you live in an overwhelmed, disorganized, emotionally depraved state. You cannot change until you let go of denial. You can't continue to do the same thing over and over and continue to attract the same kind of people. I see so many people have challenges attracting the people who can produce. The reason, because they have to be in control of their control. That would be number one. Number two, they live in a low energetic state. Number three, they want to be the type of person that has challenges attracting people who can produce is because there's a codependent energy involved. Now, everyone has codependent tendencies, including myself. Address them. Get clear on why you do them. Begin to let go of them. Let go of the guilt and shame associated with the events that shaped your feelings. Stop telling yourself you don't know. Stop telling yourself, my whole childhood was a blur. I coach people every day who tell me this. I go, who's your third grade teacher? Name someone you were in fourth grade class with. Oh, you do remember. There are events you remember. If you continue to stay in denial, you'll keep doing the same thing over and over. When you live in an overwhelmed, overweight state, overworking your emotional state, overworking your adrenals, overworking your lymphatic system, you're going to be exhausted. When you're exhausted, you have no energy. and you don't want to continue to edify. Oh, my God, I'm overwhelmed. I'm so worried. I'm always worried. I'm always overwhelmed. When you, that becomes your definition. That becomes your focus. You have to change your focus. Your focus is on results. Your focus is on solutions. Your focus is on sobriety. Your focus is on recovery. Your focus is on other people that you can collaborate with. Your focus is on attraction. Your focus is on living a good life. Your focus is on clarity. This is what you focus on, not what you don't have, not your lack of money, not no one showing up, not you're in the wrong place in the wrong company, you're in the wrong spot, not your you got to stop setting people up to disappoint you. That's what so many people focus on. They don't even understand that their energy magnetizes to the reality, the very situation to fulfill the feelings that they hold on to. They stay in a repressed, overwhelmed state, telling themselves that mythically, magically, this next seminar is going to do it for them. Oh, I'm so excited. Well, that's great. But when you're at your desk, you got to be productive. You have to create results. And I had a woman say to me recently, well, I work in pairs. Well, that's freaking great, dude. I'm pairs of what? That's a fruit? I mean, a pear is a fruit, but you have to be able to produce solo by yourself in a relaxed body at times. Now, there's nothing wrong with having accountability partners, doing situations in unison, but you also have to be able to produce in that relaxed body in your own office in a non-overwhelmed state, not focusing and worrying about outcomes that haven't happened. Focus on learning the skills, number one. Focus on developing a mindset that's conducive to being successful in your vocation. Focus on clearly defined goals about an outcome that you can create in a 90-day period. Focus on mastering an emotional state that keeps you in the game. Focus on being clear on what it is that you deserve. Get really clear on what it is you know you're capable of. And get really clear on the type of teammates that you seek to attract your reality in a 1-day, 30-day, and a 90-day period. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, now you can focus on action and accomplishment. Rather than, see, what so many people do is they focus on the reward before they ever master the skill. This is why so many people set big goals with no clarity. When you begin to live in a relaxed body, now you're in a consciously aware state where very little affects you. You're able to hear what people mean, not say. You become a master listener. You're able to tell why people do what they do. You're no longer discouraged. Unfortunately, many people waste their most valuable commodity, time. They get ready to get ready. Very ineffective. Now, when someone criticizes you for being a workaholic, that means you're probably doing something they're not willing to do. I get criticized occasionally by people who say, oh, my God, all you do is this, all you do is this. And I look at them and I go, I know this broke dick has no assets, because I can tell, because that's how people talk like that. Asset attraction and asset creation requires energy. It requires discipline. It requires a series of white envelopes that you put money in over time. It requires discipline on Monday as you pay down your liability debt and you make principal payments. Assets requires the ability to create results, and you start to have an idea and you start to have a focus on the kind of assets you're going to have. Assets also require asset protection. Assets all require a structure that you have in owning a business. When you own a business, it's a responsibility, meaning the ability to respond. And in that kind of energy, you can paint your masterpiece. In that kind of energy, you can design a life. In that kind of energy, you'll attract your reality, people and situations, and a much higher law of frequency that you can collaborate with, not compete, that you can co-create with, not be in conflict with. In that kind of energy, you'll attract other like-minded success seekers who are consciously aware to live in joy, bliss, love, and enlightenment. In that kind of energy, in a very relaxed body, you're going to attract other people. In that very relaxed body, you're also going to be able to let people go relatively quickly without feeling like you judged them, made a mistake, or going to get in trouble. They're going to call you back and go off on you. You can sit in front of your masterpiece, see the outcome, and begin to paint. You're able to paint on command. That's what that is, creation on command. You start to pick up the paintbrushes and it comes together. You're not focused on making mistakes when you're painting. You're starting to see the outcome come together before it happens. You spend a little time in meditation. You know what that canvas is going to look like. You start to sense it, feel it. You salivate it. You start to see the picture frame on it. You start to see it hanging on the wall in a museum, your house. You start to see the outcome of it. In my house, I have a 7-foot painting of a painting called The Oracle of Delphi. It's in my Facebook, somewhere in my back office, in my pictures. I saw this beautiful picture of the Oracle of Delphi once upon a time. I went out and researched where I could find a copy of it. Now not only do I have a copy of that painting in my house, but I had a local artist come in and paint a 7-foot painting of it. The oracles of Delphi were the seers of all knowledge in Greek mythology over 2,000 years ago. They would set on a crack in the earth where there was a fissure, where gas was coming up from the earth that creates for the oracle. The oracle sets over it, puts them in an enlightened state where they can see the future. The senators and the prosperous Greeks would come up and get knowledge from them. Well, you can be your own oracle. In a very relaxed state, you begin to see the outcome before it happens. You start to relax in your body, and you start to operate in a different level of energy. There's no longer terms like pressure. You're not overwhelmed. You're not worried any longer. You're not consumed with making mistakes. You're focused on results. You're able to create results for yourself and your teammates. You're not worried about screwing it up. You can do 3-way calls for your teammates in relatively short fashion. You're able to create a very simple, relaxed system, or you follow someone else's so you don't have to be the issue. You're not in conflict. You're not reinventing the rules. You're not a rebel. You're not rebelling against your own success. You relax into the process. And it's that very process that will allow you to paint your masterpiece and become the person you know you're capable of becoming. If you'd like to take advantage of a free 15-minute coaching offer, inbox me on Facebook, and I'll get back with you in a relatively short period of time. We're running the last month of 2017. Finish strong. Thank you for being on tonight's call. This call is officially recorded and will be available at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific. Have a great evening, everyone.